official Jets podcast is presented by WynnBET. Betting is a team sport. Bet together, win better. Eric Allen here at One Jets Drive, joined by Jets defensive end, or should I say linebacker, because of the number change, Jermaine Johnson. Great to see you.
Nice to see you, man.
What was it like the past weekend? Because typically, at this point in the year, you're playing on Sundays, right? But you had Saturday and Sunday off.
It was great, man. I got a lot of family in town, so you know, I felt kind of bad just always jetting off and, you know, handling this stuff, and they're just kind of twiddling his thumbs, but it was all right. They understand. It's what I do, but it was definitely good to get home, you know, enjoy time with them, enjoy some time with my girl, you know, just chill out.
When did you have the opportunity to actually celebrate Thanksgiving? Because Thursday was a big work day in preparation of Friday. You guys actually stayed at the team hotel the night before the game.
Yeah. So I just told my mom actually the night before Thanksgiving, I was like, okay, we're not going to do it tomorrow. Let's just do it Friday night after the game. Just have the food ready, kind of, we'll do it Friday night after the game. So that's what we did. I got home. And then, yeah, we started eating, we prayed, we ate, and played some games and enjoyed each other. It was dope, man.
How many people in town?
I don't have any open bedrooms, I'll say that.
Yeah?
I don't have any open bedrooms anymore.
So north of 20, you would say?
Probably like 12 to 16.
Okay. Now, who handled the cooking?
My mom and my sister and my girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you guys have? What's your favorite Thanksgiving?
Everything. Like anything you can think of. Baked mac and cheese, greens, cornbread, curry shrimp, curry chicken, ham. We did hens. We didn't do turkey, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because no one eats the turkey.
Yeah.
Everyone goes straight for the ham and then the other stuff, and then it's like, You feel bad, so you got to take a little slice of turkey. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yeah. I think turkey, like, no offense to turkey on Thanksgiving, but I feel like I just move around the turkey, to be honest.
I agree. I think it's overrated, because not a lot of times you're sitting at home saying, hey, what are we going to have for dinner? Let's pull out the turkey. You know?
Exactly.
All right, so Saturday and Sunday, what did you actually do with the fam?
Chill.
Yeah?
Chill, sat at home, watched TV, Christmas movie, decorated my house for Christmas.
Okay.
You know, got the lights on, got... Actually, they, one of those, you know, those inflatable, big inflatable things,
yeah,
that are like usually on the front lawn.
Yeah.
Well, my mom and my sister decided to put it in the house. So now I have this like 6-foot inflatable thing just floating in the house, just sitting up in the house. And I was like, I mean, there's room for it, but it's like, why is this, that's supposed to go on the, anyway, they have fun with the, cause my niece and nephews are in town and, you know, they have fun doing all the decorating stuff, but it's definitely good, man. Enjoy the family, enjoy the people that, you know, helped you get here and, you know, just love supporting you so much. You know, it feels good to kind of give some time back to them and, you know, some make some memories with them for sure.
You got a 9-month-old daughter now. Yes. How much attention does she get from the fam?
Oh, my God, a lot. She's the centerpiece, 100%. Yeah. I mean, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. Definitely just gets you on the straight and narrow for sure, right? Because you can afford kind of like live a little reckless here and there when it's just you got to worry about.
Right.
Right. But nah, so as soon as she came, I was, not that I was never on a straight and narrow, but it's just like, I'm not going to ever let myself not be on a straight and narrow. Cause you know, I got a little girl and, you know, even when she's 40, she's going to be my little girl. So
right,
I got to make sure everything's straight for her for sure.
It's awesome because you're going to see her develop every day and something right. new every day that you're able to celebrate.
Right. I mean, she's definitely her daddy's daughter. She's this is me tooting my own horn a little bit, but she's like past every milestone. But I mean, she's being brought up in an amazing way. But she's passing every milestone that she's even supposed to hit crawling. She's already crawling in 8 months. She's saying her first words. Like, she's just doing everything so fast, and it's just so dope, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool. So cool.
It's going to get better every single day. What's it been like for you year two overall here with the Jets?
Man, like I said, I don't know if it was my daughter, you know, or if, you know, I got my girl now. So I don't know what it is, bro. I mean, let me give some credit to myself now. I work my butt off in the offseason.
Right.
But I'm just locked in and, you know, I hold myself to a super extremely high standard. Like, there's, you can't critique me and criticize me more than I do myself. So obviously, individually, it's like, you know, wish I could have plays back here, plays back there. As a team, obviously, you know, obviously we just want to, we're not in a position that we saw ourselves in, and it doesn't sit well with me, but, you know, we got 6 weeks left. You never know. And I know the guys, the character, the guys we have in here, you know, we're going to bust our tails and, you know, do what we need to do. So I'm just excited for the opportunity. I'm excited for the adversity that we have to face, because at the end of the day, you find out who you truly are and who's around you, you know, when things aren't looking good and your back's on the wall.
Right.
You either got to punch out or curl up. So, you know, I'm very confident these guys are going to punch out.
How did you attack your first professional offseason? Because I don't really think that you have an opportunity to have an offseason after you get drafted. You know, you're just kind of like thrown in the mix, thrown in the fire, and here we go.
It's crazy. Like, after, as a rookie, because you're going, okay, so you're done playing college. If you're just like, let's say you just did the regular season, you're done around late November, right?
Right.
After that, you got maybe that month of December to spend with your family for the holidays, whatever have you. And then as soon as that's over, you're going to train for the combine. And then you got the combine, and then you got your pro day.
Yep.
So that's by like March area. And then you got to like travel to all these teams that want to visit with you. And then you get drafted, and then you get drafted, you fly. I actually have to fly here the night I got drafted. I couldn't even celebrate in Vegas with my family. And then we got here. I had to fly back, pack up my stuff, fly back, come for rookie minicamp, OTAs. Like, it's just like I couldn't catch my breath. And then, you know, it's like it was crazy. So I actually got to do my first offseason, my first real offseason.
Right.
So I just told myself, because if your mind's not right, you're not going to be able to get the most out of yourself. So I gave myself a little time to relax. You know, I was working out lightly here and there. But then I want to say I turned it on really in June. And then in June, I was pretty much doing like two workouts a day for 4 days a week up until I had to come for camp. And then kind of got here at camp, and it was just like, it was a breeze. I was ready. I was like just strong, like throwing everyone out of the way. So I was like, all right, I did something right. Because it's kind of reassuring, because you don't know. You like freestyle. It's not like college where you like, you got to come here. You got workouts at 6 in the morning. You got to do this. You got to do that. It was like, all right, you're on your own pretty much for all these months. And then, you know, you can only, I didn't know if I was doing it right or if I was doing it wrong. And obviously when I got here for camp, I was like, yeah, I must have did something right.
Who did you train with during the offseason? And what specific parts of your game did you say, hey, listen, this is what I really want to hone in on?
Most important thing to me was just explosiveness, because if I'm an explosive player at 260 and I'm explosive fast, obviously I haven't always been naturally strong, and then technique, just pass rushing, because, you know, that's what I get painted to,
right,
on top of other things. But no, it was just important to me that I became extremely explosive, and then I got on my technique in terms of pass rushing and get off and just optimizing what my body can give to me, because I'm an athletic individual, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not getting that out of your body because your technique's not right. So just focus on my technique, become explosive, and just be disciplined, be diligent in my work. Because I knew, I wanted to make a statement this year.
Yeah.
That was, what you've seen first year. You know, I appreciate gratitude to myself for getting there, but that wasn't who I am. And I challenged myself. I'm still not even close to where I want to be. Just taking steps was important, and just busting my butt so I had no regrets, you know, during the season.
As a pass rusher, what's the importance of the get off? And like you said, that was something that you stressed, you emphasized in off season, and you can see that out on Sundays.
Right.
What goes into that? Because you've always been athletic, but having that first step off the snap.
I mean, definitely the first step off the snap, but I think more than anything, especially in today's game, I mean, guys don't really want to be physical.
Yeah.
They don't. They got paid already. So, you know, why would I grind as like I did in college to get to this point? Why would I be physical like that anymore? I got paid. That's how I think a lot of those guys think. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be physical. I don't care. That's who I am. I'm going to be physical. I'm explosive. I'm going to punch you in your face until you tap out. And it's kind of how I go about it. And then, obviously, I got the speed and the athleticism to do all the other stuff too, but I'm coming to punch you in your face and check your temperature and see how you take it for sure.
Yeah, and that's always been an element of your game. As far as you standing up or maybe going down in your stance.
Yeah.
How much freedom do you have?
All the freedom in the world.
Yeah.
And that's just a tribute to, you know, my coaching staff. They trust me to pretty much, all right, Jermaine. But definitely operate in the framework of the defense and do it like that. So I definitely appreciate it. And, you know, they let me apply my game to the defense and not the other way around, which I think can put some players in a box. But, I mean, the staff does a great job of taking individual players and understanding that they do some things really good and, you know, playing the scheme of defense to those strengths. And in this case, it's like standing up, you know, letting me use my athleticism and kind of like my football IQ. I can see more. I think I can identify things better when I can get up and kind of see as right. the ball snap and stuff like that. So, yeah, they just give me a lot of kind of freedom on that end. But they trust me to operate within the framework of the defense for sure.
I've always liked the attitude you've had as far as rushing the passer. You said you got to earn the right to rush the passer. Can you talk about the mentality you have against the run? Because that's something that you've excelled in day one, even entering the National Football League.
Right. It actually started, I think it was after my 2019 season at Georgia. Because I've always been physical. I always thought I played the run pretty good, but when I was deciding to come out for that draft instead of the 2021 draft I came out for, I got my file back because, you know, the league, the scouts, whatever, they have a file on you. I was reading my file and kind of said, like, I was a good pass rusher or whatever, but he's not physical and he doesn't play the run well. I was like, all right, that's pretty much it. So I ended up transferring to Florida State. And, you know, I shut all that down and then came into the league my first year. I shut all that down. And then it's just, I mean, it's part of my pedigree. Like I said, I'm going to out-physical you. I'm going to make you quit before I do. And that's in the run game. Like, I'm going to hit you in your face. That's a perfect opportunity.
Right.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, thing about this is it's about who gets someone to break first, because we're all very gifted athletically. It's about what's in here and what's in here. So,
what's it like on the pro level dealing with the chips? As far as it's just not, okay, I'm one-on-one with the tackle, that a lot of times, especially the more successful you are,
right,
the more attention you're going to get.
Yeah, like you just said, I kind of take it as a compliment because all the best pass rushers are getting chipped.
Yeah.
They're not just going to, you know, let you tee off, right? So, I mean, but that's a tribute to our whole defensive line. Everybody in there is a dog and gets to the quarterback at a high rate. And, you know, offenses aren't just going to let us tee off on their offensive line. So, the chips come and you take it as a compliment, and then, you know, you figure out to work your way through it because nobody cares.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you see a stat sheet and you see the New York Jets D-line, how many sacks they had. Doesn't say, well, they had some chips too, so.
Right.
Don't nobody care. So take it as it is and, you know, figure out to get through it.
Can you talk about how close you guys are? I mean, you and Bryce are always together in the locker room. You got JFM, who I like to call the gray beard, even though he's in maybe his late 20s. He's only been in the league for a few years, but he's the veteran in the mix. You got Carl still there. Mm. Obviously, Will McDonald, much like yourself, first-round pick, who's going through his first steps in the National Football League.
It's a family. Yeah. It really makes the time. It makes the experience because, I mean – before I came in the league, you always heard about these rooms that weren't great rooms, they'd call them, or, you know, it's not a good room. And that would usually mean, all right, like, you got some a-holes in the room, some selfish guys in the room, but, you know, they're good players, so deal with it kind of thing. But we have none of those guys. It's really a family. We're all selfless, and we all help each other. We all want to see each other win. Like, we make joke here and there, like, I got a 0.5 of that, a half of that sack. You know, I got a whole sack. But at the end of the day, it's all love and nobody's, like, hating on each other. That's why we're all, you know, we're all excited. Whenever somebody gets a sack, like, we're all celebrating within each other because there's no, like, hating or anything. Like, we're all just showing love and we all want each other to win, which is, you know, I'm extremely grateful for because I could have easily, you know, got drafted to a room and everybody's like, oh, this guy got drafted, you know, try to replace me or something. Like, I'm not going to help this kid out. But that wasn't the case. The guys kind of brought me under the wing and helped me out, just like we're doing with Will. Like, nobody's like, oh, Will's here, like, don't help. Like, nah, we're helping. Like, this is how we are. And we're all very kind and loving. And, you know, we just want to see each other win.
Jets fans, we're in our final push and the clock is ticking. WynnBET is giving you a golden opportunity to win VIP prizes for the 2023 season. The WynnBET Green Room is the most exclusive space at the stadium with all-inclusive food and beverage, lower-level seats, and appearances by Jets legends and celebrities. New Jersey customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET Sportsbook or Casino. For New York customers, all you need to do is wager at least $100 on WynnBET's Sportsbook. The best part? You get an entry for every $100 you wager.
You guys have different body shapes and you're different players, but do you see similarities between you and JFM as far as the pad level and the sheer power that you guys bring to the position?
Yeah, for sure. When I first got here, I was just, you know, John is, like you said, a gray beard. Like, he sets the standard in terms of, you know, kind of the physicality and edge setting and stuff like that. And it shows on film and in game, like, guys don't want to run his way because he's just going to punch your tackle in the face and then the run's going to not be worth anything anyway. So 100%, I kind of was watching that. And, you know, like I said, I'm critical. I'm more critical of myself than anybody will ever be. So I was kind of watching that and I'm just like, was comparing it to my game. Like, yeah, I was good against the run, but like, you know, I didn't instill kind of fear into people. Like, I didn't like hit people that hard. Like, I didn't do that. And I wanted to. So, like I said, and a lot of it comes from just strength and explosion. And JFM is very strong. He's very explosive. So that's like, it goes hand in hand and why I worked on what I worked on the offseason. And I mean, when I came in camp, it was just like, I felt it. Like, I didn't care who was in front of me. Like, you're either going to be on your back or I'm going to move you from in front of me, kind of thing. And, yeah, like I said, it's a tribute to who we have in our room. Those guys set a good example. And, we all have a standard. Like, we all hold each other to the same standard. It's really cool, actually. So, like, they operate that way, and I'm over here, like, you know, I can't let these guys down. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm going to be on the field, like, I have to uphold the same standard.
Right.
Like, I have to go out there, and it's got to look the same. It's got to be the same attitude. Like, you know, our D-line is feared. I really believe that, and it's a standard at the end of the day.
I told you this before earlier this season. One of my favorite Jermaine plays this year came in Dallas. Patent Zach Martin pull, and you met it head on and took not only Martin out, but an additional cowboy, and then Mosley comes in and makes the play.
Right.
How much did you enjoy not only that play, but any of those plays like that, which is, okay, here's a fierce collision. I'm bringing the violence to the game, and one of my teammates is making the final play.
100%. It's actually funny. I knew that play was coming. I think I told you that already. But I only knew that play was coming was because they ran the same play on the opposite end zone. But that time, I didn't really feel it as good. I mean, I still sat it down and, like, you know, hit Zach. But he kind of got in my ear hole a little bit. He hit me a little hard, which is good, great. But I was like, okay. Like, I just kind of, like, you know, did that kind of thing. Like, all right, let's do it. Let's do it again. Next opportunity, I'm gonna mess you up. So it was perfect. Like, it's the same layout, same everything, same motions, whatever. And I seen it and I was like, he's about to pull. So I angled my body right at where he was gonna be. And like you said, I just ran straight at him. And at the end of the day, it just, there's like, you gotta make that decision. Like, what kind of man at the end of the day are you gonna be? Are you gonna punch something in the face, you know, after you get hit in the face?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna be like, you know, you felt it before, because Zach is a good football player. He's strong, whatever, right? So I felt it. But at the end of the day, he was gonna have to feel me too. So that's what it came down to, and I knew it was coming. And, you know, like you said, I hit it, and what was it, CJ?
Yeah.
CJ came scot-free, and it made the play. And then after, I kind of looked at the sideline like, you know, don't try to hit over here again. So, yeah.
Good transition right there, because – I watch you and watch the way you interact with your teammates and be like, man, Jermaine's a guy I want on my team. But if I'm playing against him, I can't stand him, because you're motor and you're not afraid to tell people, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. At the end of the day, like, it really is bigger than football. You know, who you are on the field is kind of who you are off the field. If you shy away from certain things, you're going to shy away from certain problems you have else in your life. So, I mean, it's perfect. It just works hand in hand. So I'm never going to be one to shy away from a problem, a fight. After I get punched, I'm always going to be the one to, you know, I'm always going to hit back.
Yeah.
And you better hope you can keep hitting with me or else you're going down.
Have you and Bryce had a competition here as far as who's going to end up having the more sacks? Because you're at 5 right now. He's at 6. I know you guys are going to celebrate no matter who has the team lead.
Right.
At the end of the day.
Nah, to be honest, 100% honest, I don't think any of us is like, oh, I'm going to end up with more sacks than you. We always just joke, though, like, because we all will kind of – it's very rarely only one of us just gets the quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we all kind of get there at the same time. We all are like, who got it? Like, is it a 4.5? Like, what is it? And then, you know, we all just kind of joke like that. Like, nah, I got the whole thing. I got the whole thing. Stuff like that. But, nah, it's never it's never like a competition, like, in terms of, I'm going to get more sacks than you at the end of the year. It's just like, I'm going to get a sack today.
Right.
I'm gonna get 2 sacks today. Like, match me kind of thing. And that just goes hand in hand with, like, it's a great room. Like, we hold each other that standard. It's like a healthy competition. Because if one of us gets a sack, we're like, nah, like, I'm about to get one,
right,
too. But it comes from a place of love and, a very healthy place.
Who's got the best celebration?
Oh, I do. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Well, okay, who comes second?
I don't know. Quincy's second.
Yeah?
Are you talking about the whole team?
I guess we include the whole team.
Quincy second.
Yeah.
Quincy almost.
Like the uppercut. Yeah, no doubt.
Quincy almost has me. He almost has me. Just see it a little more because it's more of a big hit celebration.
Yeah.
But he almost has me, but I think I have the best celebration. Because who doesn't like Thor?
Yep.
And who doesn't like, you know, all of it? It's dope. You can interact with the fans. It's dope. It's a great time. Bryce's is good.
Yep.
Bryce's is good. I remember he told me he was going to do it, like, when he decided, like, that was his. I was like, yeah, like, it's nice. I think it's because I knew mine was better a little bit, so. I'm joking. But, and then Quintus.
Yeah.
I like Quintus.
Okay. How challenging has this been for you? You love playing ball. You love the room.
Yeah.
You guys started 4-3. We've lost 4 consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
Just being in this position overall, how difficult is it?
I mean, it's difficult, but, you know, it's not the first time I've been on a team and then we have big expectations and then you kind of get punched in the mouth a little bit. Like, Florida State in 2021, like, everybody was like, oh, they look good this year. They look good this year. Bro, we started off 0-4.
Mm.
And you ask anybody there, like, you have a decision to make. And I definitely could have just been like, well, I'm only here for 1 year. You know, I'm going to make sure I play good and get up out of here. But, nah, like, you still got to – you have a duty for, you know, for your teammates and everybody that poured into you, and that being this organization that, you know, nah, I'm going to still keep doing things the right way. And if not, I'm going to fix what I need to fix. And I think that's what we're all willing to do. And I think we're going to fix what we're willing to fix or what we need to fix. And, you know, we're going to come up. Like, we got a bunch of warriors, a bunch of good people, and it starts with, you know, people of good character and people that have the right kind of heart in terms of fighting, and I think that's what we got. So, I mean, we just need to fix what we're fixing, and, you know, I got all the faith in the world that we're going to get this thing right.
You are a young guy. How have you been able to do all these moves throughout your life, formidable years, when you're talking about, hey, I grew up in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I go to Independence. Kansas Independence Community College. I transferred to Georgia. You know, I want to get some, I like it at Georgia.
Yeah.
I want to get some more run, a little bit more run, because I think that's going to be better for me professionally down the line. I transferred to Florida State. I'm best player in the ACC. And then the next year, before you know it, you're up here in New York. I mean, this, people treat you guys like robots, but that's a lot of moves for a young dude. It's like here, here, here.
Right.
How have you been able to, at every level, like, we've gotten a better Jermaine?
Yeah. I mean, it's a life I chose. That's what I told myself. Like, all right, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
No room for complaining, because at the end of the day, nobody cares. And I want to be great, man. And, you know, I made that decision a long time ago. So, however many moves, what I needed to do, you know, what I had to go through, I just charged it to the game. you know, just kind of, you gotta sacrifice what you want now and, you know, be strong for how you want to live later and how you want to be remembered. So kind of told myself that at a young age and yeah, went to work.
What do you tell people about Eden Prairie, Minnesota?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
First off. And great football program. And winning football program, high expectations, stuff like that. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
What do you tell people about Kansas?
I don't talk about it much.
No?
No, man, like I said, I charged it to the game. It was how it looked on Netflix. Nobody there.
How many people still bring that up with you? Any of your teammates watch Last Chance U?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did, but I wasn't really in it much by choice. Mm. They kept asking me to do interviews and follow me here and there, and I'm like, nah.
Really?
Like, no, yeah. I was like, nah, no thank you, because I didn't really – I seen kind of how some of the other guys – how that some of the other, like, from the other seasons were portrayed, like some of the, what we call feature guys.
Right.
And, I mean, it's a show at the end of the day, right? So they're going to pay attention to anything good or bad. And I didn't want to be, like, remembered for that. I didn't want to be known for that because we're all human,
mm-hmm.
right? And I didn't want to leave that perception of who I am up to a show. I feel like that wasn't a good idea. So I want to be remembered for being, you know, a great person and a great football player. So I just felt like it was best for me to focus on my schoolwork and my football while I was there. And, you know, I kind of gave the show permission to, like, use good plays and kind of speak about me well. But anything outside of that, I just kind of steer clear.
Yeah, you didn't want anything additionally featured. No. So you could have gone anywhere after what you did on the JUCO scene.
Yeah.
Why Georgia? What did you learn from Kirby and Dan Lanning?
Yeah, Dan, my dog.
Yeah.
I chose Georgia because I believed in what they were building, and I believed that, you know, we could go win a national championship. And I wanted to compete against the best. I mean, I've kind of always been like that. Like, you could say you're one thing, but then you're never going to really know what you are until you're thrown in a fire and competing against the best. Then you can – that gives me confidence at the end of the day, because now no one can say nothing about me. And I can't say nothing about myself in terms of doubt. I did it against the best. What am I going to – how am I going to doubt myself? So – it's kind of how I went about choosing Georgia. And then, like you said, kind of, you know, didn't really see myself as the same player as they saw me a little bit, kind of thing. So it was like all respect, you know, it's all good. And I decided to go to Florida State. Well, hold on, shout out Dan. Dan's my dog.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning.
We're going to talk about college here in a sec.
Dan's my dog.
Yeah.
I just need to let that be known for sure. But yeah, then I went to Florida State. And
that was a cool thing, because I talked to guys you played with at Georgia, and everybody loved you. It wasn't like, nah, Jermaine, get out of here, whatever. Like, you had a great relationship with people there.
Yeah.
But for you, I imagine you talked to your family about this and said, you know what? What's best for me here is that we got to do something because I want to continue to grow.
Yeah, and it's one of the hardest decisions in my life, man.
Because they go on and win a national championship.
I mean, not even that. Yeah, you know. And those are my brothers, and, you know, we all sacrificed blood, sweat, and tears to get to that point. And, you know, shout out to those guys. They never made me feel left out or anything. You know, they always hit me up and, you know, let me know, like, you know, nah, bro, like, you helped us and, you know, whatever. So, you know, kudos to, you know, my former teammates for that. But yeah, it was just it was a hard decision. Because obviously I love Georgia, bro. I chose them out of anybody to go to. And, you know, I had a great time there and a lot of friends, family, you know, that I made there. So it's a hard decision, but like, at the end of the day, like I told you earlier, it was like, had to charge the decision to the game.
Yeah.
Like, I have a vision of who I want to be and what I'm going to accomplish. And, a hard decision had to be made, and I'm glad I made it.
When you see what Florida State is right now,
yeah.
Do you go back and say, you know what? Norvell looked at me as somebody that I'm a foundational piece. Did you know it at the time that this thing was going to turn?
Yeah, I did. I believed in him because he believed in me and you know, kind of how I can lead those guys. And it was reassuring. Yeah, it's just emotional thinking back on it because it
really?
Was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had a tremendous belief in me, both as a person and a player. And he never lets me forget kind of the change that I had, you know, the hand in the change that happened there. And he never lets me forget, you know, kind of, or anybody else for that matter, how strong that was for where they are now. And man, I love the guy for it because it's very easy because it's easy for anybody just to be like, oh, like, you know, I did this and it's because of me. But I mean, he's not like that at all. And, you know, he always reminds me like, thank you. Like he'll just look me anytime I go back.
Yeah.
He just tells me thank you. And it's like at a telepathic level, like he's telling me thank you for all the things that I didn't have to do, but I chose to do.
That's an incredibly deep connection, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's my guy.
What do you think about the college football landscape right now? So you got Kirby going for his third straight national championship with crazy. The Dogs. You got your guy, Dan Lanning, out there in Eugene. They're playing for the Pac-12 championship, and they got a chance. It. And then you got Florida State right there, undefeated.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's not surprising because, obviously, Kirby Smart held me to an extremely high standard and didn't let me stray from that. Obviously, Coach Lanning was my position coach in the D.C. at the time. He did the same thing, operated the same way, expected greatness. And Coach Norvell did the same thing, operated the same way and expected greatness from me both on and off the field. So it's not surprising because all three of those guys are, they're cut from the same cloth. And it's funny, Coach Lanning used to work for Norvell and Memphis. And then Lanning used to work for Kirby. So it's like it's all kind of
connected.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising then because it's like, yeah, those guys expect greatness and operate from a framework that expects greatness. And, it's kind of how they operate.
Well, I can tell you this now, we're at the end here of the pod, is that I went to grad school at Florida. So I watched that game Saturday night. I was kind of disappointed, but hey, man, you guys got it done. Final thoughts here, and you've been really gracious with your time. How much are you looking forward to not just Sunday, but whatever's ahead over these final six games? Because I know the fans are frustrated right now. They look at it and say 4-game losing streak, 4-7, improbable to go to the playoffs, things like that. But for you, Justin, I think that anybody's going to appreciate listening to you in this kind of setting is that you love every time you have that opportunity to get out there in between the white lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like I said earlier, man, it's a great opportunity to show who we are, what kind of team we are. Yeah, like the season isn't going at all how any of us imagine, from an injury standpoint, from wins and losses standpoint, but we're faced with a great opportunity to be able to overcome this adversity. And I think we have the people and the fight and the talent to do so. So, I mean, we're going to attack it, and we met as a team today. I think we're all on the same page, and I'm just excited to uphold the standard that I have for myself.
All right, so you just celebrated Thanksgiving with your family, but you're going to go out here in the community over the next couple of weeks to help out kids with some of their wishes. Why are you doing that?
I mean, it just kind of reminds me of me as a kid. It's not to any detriment of my parents, but, there's some things that a lot of things I wasn't able to have or partake of just because, it wasn't in the cards. But if I'm able to help, kids out, especially around the holiday season, because I was a big, huge Christmas holiday hit as a kid. Like, as soon as it's November, like, I'm like, Mom, can we put the lights on? Can we watch Christmas movies? Mariah Carey's on on the speaker, like, as soon as she can be. So I know there's a lot of other kids out there like that just wish they had some help. You know what I mean? And I'm in a position to do that. And if it's one kid, that's enough for me. You know what I'm saying? It just reminds me of where I was at and 100%.
Awesome. And Jermaine, really appreciate your time today. Had fun. Good luck the rest of the way.
Appreciate you, bro.